Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am positive Chuck Locklear.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. We're bringing you Clippers news 5 days a week.
Absolutely.
Brought to you by Built Bar.
Yeah, check out Built Bar, builtbar.com. Use promo code Locked On. You'll get $10 off your first order. What do we got for the fantastic Clipper people today?
Well, we're continuing our postseason grades. We're currently on the bench. If you haven't checked out any of these yet, go ahead and, you know, flip back. We did all the starters, and now we're to the, I mean, the most consistent contributor through the playoffs of the bench. Talking about Jamichael Green.
For sure.
So we're gonna grade him, talk about some of what he's added to this squad. I'm worried about his free agency.
Definitely something we have to talk about.
And then in segment two, we're kind of going to talk about some of the differences that we've seen from the Clippers to these teams that are making these, you know, deep season runs now. Obviously, Eastern Conference Finals will be decided today.
Yeah, we're recording this on Sunday, by the way.
maybe not.
Yeah.
And then in shavings, we've got a few things. Somebody who'd look pretty good in a Clippers uniform is opting out of their contract. And Ty Lue set up for an official interview with the 76ers. So we'll be talking all that and whatever else comes up.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, so welcome to the Jamichael Green postseason grade. Like you mentioned up top, hey, what's up, Jamichael Green postseason grade? As you mentioned up top, he's a player that a bunch of Clippers fans wanted to see play at the five more this year. Jamichael is a guy who everyone wanted to see play more minutes in the playoffs. It didn't work out for whatever Doc Rivers' reasons were, but he showed up in the postseason and was pretty consistent, as he usually is and has been for the Clippers. Stats don't exactly jump out on the page. He averaged 6 points, 4 boards, half an assist, and just 17 minutes per game, but he was wildly efficient, 56% from the field, 43% from three, 78% from the free throw line, but doesn't get to the line too much. Minus 1.6 net rating, which I was kind of bummed me out because I feel like that's indicative of his usage, how he was kind of put in some situations where it, you know, couldn't really be helped all that much.
Are you meaning minutes with Trez?
Yes, exactly. And every shooting split was pretty much better than his regular season numbers in less minutes in terms of percentages. So, I mean, based on, like, what did you think of Jamichael's postseason?
Loved. I think from the narrative shift for the year, I think from fans was play more Zoo to in the playoffs, play more Jamichael.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you said, I mean, we've been teasing this idea of like a more modern kind of five out lineup. And we just never saw that really realized. Obviously, you know, we went up against some skilled front courts in both rounds of the playoffs. But I still think that he provides value in just rebounding, even if like defensively, you know, I mean, defensively, he might get tore up by a Jokic or a Kristaps or somebody like that. But, I mean, he's still going to be out there trying, and he's still going to have this, like, the situational awareness to at least make things a little bit more difficult than some of the minutes we saw Trez at the five. And I don't want to bag on Trez too much, but Jamichael, for me, you know, this was his second, like, I thought meaningful minutes in the playoffs.
For sure.
While we didn't get to see as much of him, I got to go – I'm going to be honest, dude. And maybe this is too homer of a take, but I got to give him an A minus.
Damn. Okay. I was going to go with just a solid B. Because, Jamichael is the best player on the Clippers at just being in the right place at the right time. He is just hands down, that's his best intangible quality. He was tipping boards to people when we needed it. And in game six and game seven, game six, he was 5 of 8 from the field, 11 points, 2 assists, 2 boards in 20 minutes. Game seven, 4 for 7, 11 points, 6 boards and a steal in 23 minutes. So I guess I got to bump mine up to a B plus. Like
he was the only player in game seven. I mean, you and I were talking about this before the pod, but who was not ready to concede a loss.
Yeah, and he posted on Instagram, he was like, still don't understand how the fuck we lost on Instagram, which I like to see. Like, I like to see players being that upset about it. But yeah, he showed up. Like, and that's what Jermichael Green does. I didn't know a whole bunch about him before he came to the Clippers, obviously.
Yeah. From my understanding, Memphis fans weren't huge on it.
yeah.
But, you know, it just depends on the role, right? Like, I think if you can put him around some other shooters, take some of the pressure off of him. Yeah. That's definitely going to help. And then, I mean, just the fact that, you know, he's lifting his shooting splits in the playoffs. Like, what more can you really ask for from a role player? So, I mean, I guess it is a little bit of a grade on a curve, but I mean, he's willing to do everything that's asked of him. And yeah, it's always at least a little bit more, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's a really good way to put it. And you're never gonna, he's rarely gonna like truly lose you a game. He doesn't get enough chances to do that. You know, like there's some games where he just doesn't have it, right? But he's not gonna tank a game as a bench player.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is great.
Definitely.
But so we got it. So we kind of agree B plus A minus range. Now we got to talk about his contract, because other than Mook, I think this is probably the most important person we have to retain, right?
Yeah. He's got a player option for what? Five mil?
Yeah. I'm looking it up right now, but I believe it's something. Yeah. It's 5 mil. So it's just under 5 mil. I think he can probably get more than that on the market. For sure. And I hope I don't think it's a lot more. So I hope the Clippers match it, because he, despite Doc, for whatever reason, not wanting to play him as much as it seems like he should play, is still pretty clutch to this Clippers makeup and holds over a little bit of that identity from the 18-19 team that was a little.
Right. And I mean, that's another one of the intangibles, is that I see him as being, you know, while maybe not a vocal leader, he is like a good guy to have in a locker room.
Yeah, great guy to have in a locker room. Super even keel, good vibe, kind of always. Anytime he plays great, he's just smiling and happy about it.
Like, yeah, wants to win, like just incredibly focused. You know, I don't know. It gets a little bit difficult for me to judge this free agency, because like with how kind of thin the talent pool is, you know, that could play into Jermichael's favor of maybe being able to get a little bit more money. I still would be pretty shocked if he was able to do, I don't know, more than like the 8 or maybe, I mean, I feel like even 9 is kind of pushing it range.
That's what I was going to ask Ness. Like, I think I'm fine with giving him like 8. Like, if we're paying him as much as Trez might reportedly get, like, if all these guys are in this 8 range, like, let's just keep everybody. Obviously, Mook's going to be higher, but like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's a nice figure to have Jermichael at, especially if we go more towards that, which I don't think we will if we keep Trez too. But there's not always that glimmer of hope for Jermichael at the 5 fans.
Definitely. I think that he is probably the second most free agent, like second most important free agent to retain. And yeah, I think that 8 is a reasonable number. For him. And the thing is at 8, that's still a good contract. Like if you need to trade an asset, like if you need to make a move,
something's got to get moved. Yeah.
It's not like a terribly large contract, you know, but you bundle that with a couple other, and then you're looking at making a move. You know, you have some pieces that can provide value if you need to go out and get something else, which, you know, who knows? Who knows what next season is going to look like? And, you know, while I don't think we'll see any big trades or anything coming into the season, you know, I would guess if things aren't looking, you know, where they want them to be at, I would guess almost every move is on the table to make, you know, to make the deepest run that we can make next season.
100%. Yeah, I hope you retain him as well. Let us know at Locked On Clips what you think we should do. I haven't seen anyone who's against Jermichael Green, so I can't imagine a lot of people would be mad if we re-signed him, unless it was for something wildly out of control. But I don't think this front office isn't going to do that. Coming up, we're talking the differences between the team across the hall that made it to the finals, as well as the Heat and Celtics, and just kind of what the Clippers are missing from those teams. But first, we got to give a shout-out to DoorDash. You've counted on restaurants, and now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery, which is fantastic. You can use DoorDash to get all that sweet, sweet food. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-to or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the very illustrious Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite spot, and your food will be left at your door. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to keep communities we operate in safe, or should I say they operate in. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees their first order of $15 when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. One more time, $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app on the App Store and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. That's code LOCKEDONNBA, all cap letters, one word, for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
All right, so we're back with segment two. We're talking about what is the difference between this Clippers team and, you know, some of these other teams that are, you know, continuing their playoff run when we are not. I think you and I were both kind of thinking about this, watching that closeout game of the Lakers on Denver.
Yes. And watching when the Nuggets played the Clippers as well, because there's a marked difference in what all four teams that were in / are still in the conference finals had against the Clippers. And that is like, it's not self-confidence because the Clippers obviously had enough of that. It's like, it's a buying into the team as a whole. It feels like you watch a team like the Heat, and the way that team operates is the sum of its parts. You know what I mean? From top to bottom, it's completely bought in. And they have a system to follow. Same with the Celtics. There's this, and I'm not saying the Clippers don't have any fight in them, but there's such a heavy difference between watching these Western Conference Finals, between what the Clippers were attempting to do with their switch flipping, it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think it's like buying in the sum of its parts. Like, I think you hit the nail exactly on the head there. I mean, the thing, you look at these teams who are still, you know, in the playoff hunt. You look at the Lakers, you look at the Celtics, you look at the Heat, they have an organizational identity that I don't think that, you know, we've ever had as an organization. And I don't know fully what that comes down to, you know, like obviously it's got to start at the top. And I do think that, you know, we've done our best to assemble guys who have like a, at least on paper, a type of culture that would, you know, congeal or work together in some sort of last meaningful year it did. Way. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, by all accounts, like, you know, players seem to have really great seasons playing under Doc Rivers.
Absolutely.
There has been, you know, there has been some mention of some ambiguity of the roles or the larger picture, which I think sometimes players are unsure about, which does make it a little bit harder to buy in.
And it's frustrating from a fan perspective.
Definitely. And I think that this year, you know, even doubly so, because you're asking guys to buy into roles that are different from what they came here for.
Yeah.
And, you know, just due to our situations with injuries and our situation with just having a new core of a team, I just don't think there was still enough time to build a cohesive system that guys could even quote unquote buy into.
There's no clarity, right? Like, so if you have,
if
you have all this up and down roster turmoil in terms of guys in and out. And again, we've kind of heard Doc himself has said, what happens is he'll tell guys what they need to do and they'll ask why, and why, and he just won't tell them why. And then when it works, they're like, oh, this is why I do it. Great. But then there's the flip side of that coin, which is when it doesn't work and you're still wondering why, and you're not really why you're doing these things and you're not really getting the answers, right? Like, that is so frustrating because that system is just, okay, so maybe the players don't necessarily have as much info on what they're supposed to be doing, or they just don't know. Just knowing why can really help a team buy into whatever you're trying to do. And
right.
When it's something like with Trez, when it's like last year, it was like, dude, run the pick and roll. That's what we're doing. And why? Because it's the most efficient in the history of the league. And then this year, it was kind of like, it's almost like we gave him the ball a little bit more on the baseline to dribble and stuff like that. And that's one of those why questions, right? It's one of those things like, why are we doing this if the other thing just worked so well? No one's threatened by his shooting or whatever and stuff like that. And when things like that happen and it just like, it goes back to that. I just don't think everyone was completely bought in and they didn't even have the opportunity to really buy in.
No, I mean, with play being so up and down, if there's not full clarity on what your role is and what it even is that you're supposed to be buying into, and you're losing games, I think it gets a lot harder. I think it gets a lot harder to have confidence in yourself or any sort of confidence in the direction that it's going. And if you look at those last three games, I mean, I honestly, like, I felt like that was palpable just looking at it. Guys were frustrated. You know, guys were clear. I mean, it was just clearly unclear in like the specificity of their roles. And, you know, there's the intangibles, there's things like guys missing shots and stuff too. But I just also think that being unsure of the system is going to make you unsure of yourself, and one thing is going to feed into the other. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why you're seeing these monumental drops in efficiency for so many players that are, you know, otherwise
usually pretty good.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, that we're talking about like the Celtics, Heat and Lakers right now, and the Heat have, I mean, obviously, in my opinion, the best organizational culture of any team in the NBA. That's a homegrown built team. You know, they got the trade for Jimmy Butler, but you look at Duncan Robinson, Tyler Harris, you look at these guys who they really believe in and give a shot to. And this Clippers, you know, this team is kind of half built, half, I don't want to say bought, because that's not how trades work. You know what I mean?
No, but you're right.
Gave up a lot of the identity of the team. I think more so than we thought when we traded away Shea and Gallo and stuff like that. And while on paper, it was looking great, but that's the thing. Like on paper, sure, we had a good chance to win the championship, but there's that intangible level that these other three teams and the Nuggets all have that the Clippers just didn't, you know? Like, we don't have someone in that Udonis Haslem role who's just going to yell at everybody when we're playing like shit, you know? Like,
yeah.
we don't have a guy like that other than Doc. So there's just like – and I'm going to sound like a broken record because this is the biggest concern with the team. There's no real system. There's no system.
No, I mean, I look at,
like, Doc Rivers has horns and he has these sets that he's run, but there's not an actual, like, oh, this is the Doc Rivers system that is proven to be effective when it's proven to be good at kind of just crumbling when things aren't going well. There's no result.
And I look at a team like the Lakers who, I mean, struggle in the half court. Like, they struggle.
They're horrible in the half court. What, it doesn't matter.
But they still have this style of play where they're bruising teams in transition, where they're fast to get back, where they have guys cutting to the rim all the time. And like, it still works because there's still an identity. And if you were to ask me, you know, like, what is Clippers basketball? I couldn't tell you what Clippers basketball was this year.
Yeah, style-wise.
I really can't tell you. I mean, the closest thing I could say is, well, it's Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, it's Kawhi and PG.
And that's not enough. I don't even think I could say Kawhi and PG. I would say it's Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, that's fair. There's a lot of – and it was a thing last year too. Like, the offense last year, there'd be times where you're like, okay, we're just kind of standing around. And that was the same issue this year. And the overconfidence, I think, you know, we heard a lot of players talk about how we're taking it one game at a time. Paul George flip-flopped on whether it was a championship or bust season, which is really frustrating because you're just like, dude, which one is it? Because it should have been championship or bust. So this was a bust. There's a lot of, you know, to put a 2020 term on it, there's a lot of vibes that need to be figured out to win this championship.
Definitely.
And they don't have a lot of them figured out right now.
No, and the thing is, I mean...
And there's more change coming, maybe. Because if we lose Shreds, we're losing a guy who's been a piece of the team in terms of a large portion, obviously, of the offense. So that's a whole nother hole we kind of have to fill in the offseason in terms of minutes and chemistry.
Well, and nothing's getting any easier next year. I mean, the clock is ticking.
Yeah, goddamn,
Everybody in the locker room knows that this upcoming free agency, I mean, that could be it. And the pressure that's going to put on this team. I mean, if they're going through stretches where they're not winning games, I think it's going to be really hard to get that unit together into something cohesive. So
it'll take Rivers probably best coaching season next year.
I mean,
literally, if you look at the teams, like,
yeah, the road ahead just isn't getting any easier. It doesn't just come down on Doc, because it is up to the players to define that, because ultimately they are the ones on the court. It feels like there's a lot of work to be done in defining that identity and then thriving in it.
100%. Let us know what you think about the Clippers' kind of culture deficiencies. You can tweet us at Locked On Clips, or you can call in at 213-986-7354. We have a voicemail from a listener we're probably going to play sometime later in this week. Pretty sure it's Dominic Cole. Shout out, Dominic. But, yeah, coming up after this, we're going to be giving an update on the Lou Will interview sitch, as well as just kind of a nice what if, to kind of just kind of a nice thing to end on. But first, Will, talk to me about Built Bars. I've been hearing all these people at cafes mention how good they are.
Oh, of course. They are very delicious. They're new and improved. New bar is even more delicious than it was before. Comes in 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut flavors if you're allergic. Great thing about Built Bars is they're healthy. They're perfect for the health-conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great for keto diet. They're incredible. And right now, for our listeners, we have a very special offer. If you go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com.
Okay, welcome to Shavings. This is a good time today. It was reported.
Clarification on the interview. It's a Ty Lue interview, not a Lou Will interview.
Yeah, sorry. Ty Lue interview. For the 76ers job on Tuesday, we've been pretty vocal. I hope he doesn't take this job, man. I don't. He's getting put into a position to fail, I think.
It's not a good position to be in.
Not like on purpose, not like in a weird way, but it's. Like, if they're going to – another thing is if they're going to make these concessions for a Mike D'Antoni team where they're going to trade everybody who's big and not can't shoot or whatever, they better make the same concessions for a Ty Lue-run team. I know he doesn't have as definitive of a system as D'Antoni, but they can't – if he takes this job, they can't jam him up when it comes to personnel, because he might want to trade people too. You know what I mean?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I think that the Sixers are in kind of the same – unfortunate quandary that the Clippers are in that, you know, there's some uncertainty about what that team is. And like what's going on. And obviously there's been so many changes through the front office and now, you know, losing their coach. It's going to be an incredibly difficult situation to walk into. And then you have Brand, who is definitely on the hot seat.
Lunatic something, you know what I mean? Like,
that's the thing, right? There's two ways that could go. I mean, on one hand, maybe he plays it conservatively, you know, tries to keep the cards close, not swing for the fences. Or on the other hand, you do the exact opposite. Hell with it. This could be my last year. Like, whatever we have to make happen so I can save my job, we're going to make happen.
I think it's maybe option B right there. I think it's maybe that situation.
But either way, not a good situation. I mean, I don't feel for a coach to walk into.
No, and I don't want him to leave the Clippers. It's not, you know, he's very valuable defensively. I think he helps out on that end. Offensively, it's hard to really understand what an assistant coach does in the Doc Rivers system. That's not a disrespect to the assistant coach. That's just a pattern of Doc Rivers systems. But yeah, man, I don't know. I don't want to see him go to the 76ers. I hope they hire D'Antoni and trade everybody or whatever's going to happen. And if he does end with the 76ers, I hope he gets a fair shake.
Yeah, definitely. Let's hope so. I mean, I would guess he'd be looking for like a longer term deal, but you know,
that's the other thing. If they're like, we'll give you a 2-year deal, it's like, what the fuck am I even doing here then? Like a 2-year deal is like a prove it deal. Like he's already a championship coach. He's worked with big personalities before in his teams.
Definitely.
Yeah, it'd have to.
And players love him.
Yeah, he's a player's coach. Like, man, yeah. Shout out. I hope Ty Lue, I hope he has a good interview. But, yeah, I hope I also hope he stays a little bit with the Clippers. And then we got some Jeremy Grant news, reportedly going to opt out of his deal. He'll be an unrestricted free agent. And, you know, we're going to see his name pop up and guys who people think the Clippers should get. We got a lot of wings, but he would be a great Clippers player. I don't know how much he's going to command in the offseason. He's definitely going to get paid after what he showed in the playoffs. But he'd be a great fit for the Clippers. I just don't know if it's possible or if we'd do it.
I actually don't see the Clippers fit. I mean, like, I guess unless we're using him as like a super bench guy.
Oh, yeah, but exactly. But he's not.
He's going to command too much money for that to financially work out. I actually don't even see an incentive for him to leave the Nuggets. I don't think that they'll have
such a good core. Like, and if you're him, it's like they know how to use you. You're not going to a place where you're going to get shoved into some weird role. Like,
yeah. And I mean, I think that they have the space to pay him, so that's not going to be an issue. And like, I mean, you just went to a Western Conference final. You know, why wouldn't you run it back if you're the Nuggets?
And yeah, like their big issue is going to be Millsap and Plumlee. And it's like, well, I think Grant is kind of ahead of both of those guys in the pecking order in terms of who you prioritize to bring back on an unrestricted free agent deal.
He's their Marcus Morris and their Jermichael Grant.
Oof, I wish we only had one of those and we could just easily make the decision to re-sign him. But yeah, other thing I noticed actually recently, Clippers players have been quiet on social media. I feel like they're taking, other than Jermichael Green, who's posted he's really mad that we lost, and Trez, because Trez does those things. But it's not, you know, I hope guys are having a good offseason. I hope things aren't too hard for them right now. It's a big letdown. I think that's a tough thing to bounce back from, especially when you're, you know, the team across the hall is about to go to the finals again.
Definitely. I mean, it must be such a not a relief because the season's over and you're bummed out, but it's got to be a huge relief to be out of the bubble.
Yeah, bubble-wise specifically, people being back with their fam. I think it was Bev posted a picture of him and his grandma hanging out. It was like, okay, that's some good stuff right there. But yeah, that about wraps it up for Shavings, unless you have anything else you'd like to tell these fantastic listeners.
Nah, happy Monday. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, happy Monday. Tuesday's episode, we're going to do in Twitter Tuesday, so send us your questions at Locked On Clips. We're going to be grading Landry Shamet's postseason, who, man, he really had to do a lot more than we all initially thought he was going to have to do. And then whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, Will, where can these people tell their friends to listen to us?
You can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Deezer. We're on Stitcher. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. If you like what we're doing, go ahead, leave a rating and review. We love it. And tell your friends. Yeah, we still got plenty more Clippers stuff to talk. So,
oh, yes, we do. Thank you all again. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.